This is Norman Lear with my great sidekick, Paul Hipp.
Good to be here with you, Norman, on All of the Above.
That's the name of my podcast, All of the Above.
Yeah.
We have had guests you cannot believe.
Yeah.
Guests.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus, amazing.
Yes. And America Ferrera.
Jared Carmichael.
Yes. Oh, Amy Poehler. How did we overlook? We didn't overlook Amy Poehler. I was saving her for last. And Charles Barkley, I was saving him for first, actually, because I didn't declare up first.
I get to hang out with this guy. And this is your chance to hang out with Norman Lear a little bit here and some of these great guests.
God, I wish I was you hanging out with Norman Lear.
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
See?
That must be exciting.
It's the best. I'm telling you.
Don't miss All of the Above with Norman Lear. The first episode's available Monday, May 1st on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, or PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thank you. I have a lozenge in my mouth, or lozenger. I can't remember. Maybe people said it both ways.
No, lozenge.
I've heard lozenger before, but that could be my... Well, my grandmother liked to do things like she would say hors d'oeuvre, and you'd go, it's hors d'oeuvre. No, it's hors d'oeuvre, and you'd go, well, they're pronouncing it wrong. And you'd go, yeah, but everyone's pronouncing... Is everyone pronouncing it wrong? Well, if they say hors d'oeuvre, they are. And so, it's a snobbery...
Look at that. It's because there's an R-E at the end. It's hors d'oeuvre, not er.
It's the same conversation I had with Penn Jillette when I was explaining to him that I said we're calling our team Forte, and he's like Fort. And I said no, I think it's Forte.
Yeah,
it's pronounced Fort.
He fought with you about it.
Well, everyone fights with me about everything, but all I do is say to them, I'm really just the carrier of this disease. I didn't invent it.
No,
you know what I mean? I say Forte because other human beings say Forte, and I don't want to confuse them.
Yeah.
I didn't invent the word. I don't know how to spell the word. I heard someone say Forte.
It's not your forte.
Thank you.
Right.
And I say hors d'oeuvre.
Words are not your forte.
Thank you. I say words like hors d'oeuvre, Grandma, because... People say hors d'oeuvre to me, and I don't want to confuse them.
I wonder where the forte came from, because fort in French is fort. It means strong. But if you're singing in French, you might say forte. So I wonder if that's where
it
came from.
Hold on, let me picture all the times I've sung in French.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yep, you're right. I was looking back on my rich career of singing in French.
Yes.
Which should not be confused with my singing in Vietnamese. That was a whole different era.
It's weird. Well, they speak French, too, in Vietnam.
Well, that's why there was some crossover. That's why the connection.
You know what's weird is because Frenchie, or LeBeau, as you call him over there in our house.
Tile setter.
Tile guy. I speak with him every day in French, and it's weird how it just starts getting back in your head, and you start thinking about it. And so, and then, you know, there's a French presidential election now, and a few days ago there was a shooting in Paris. I don't know why French has been on my mind.
So. Yeah, there's an interesting story I think I saw in 60 Minutes on the French, the female.
Le Pen.
who's the daughter of the guy who was pretty radical.
Yeah.
And now she has some of the same thoughts, but doesn't appear to be as radical as he was.
You know what's weird? As a non-French speaker, you hear her speak. Her French is glorious. It's like really clear and good. And she speaks like the Queen's French, essentially. And it's like, wow.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. So Europe kind of spun off. And they spun down this very progressive, almost bordering on socialism kind of route. They got very progressive and they got very inclusive and very everything. And I think everything, you know, from the, you know, hey, the when they have a child, the guy's going to get 2 months paternity as well as the woman. And, you know, the summer vacations are going to be 9 weeks and then no one's going to work more than a 36-hour work week. And, you know, health care for everyone. And they started going down this road.
Yeah.
Open the borders for refugees, do whatever we can.
Yeah.
I feel like you know, the things that people kind of explain to me, like, hey, this politically this or politically that, or where do you stand politically? And as I said to somebody yesterday, I don't look at, hey, mom and dad, stay together and raise your family and focus on education and focus on nourishing and nurturing the kids, and we'll do just fine.
You don't think of that as a political stance?
Not at all. Yeah. And by the way, I refuse to let people dump the sort of attach a big political, put a big political bow on that and then drop it in my driveway. Contraire.
Ooh. It's un contraire.
My grandma says contraire. I have been saying this for 20 something years with no political anything attached to it. No one did attach anything political to it. And also,
that was before the school to prison pipeline, though.
Right.
Once that got built.
And also, I am not open for negotiation where you go, well, that's your opinion. But no, it is, this is life. This is nature. This is nature. It's not my opinion. It's nature. It's, you know, mom and daddy polar bear raised a cub. Fine. Throw the polar bear out, or just mommy and the polar bear out. That cub doesn't have statistically a good chance. Nature, not my opinion. So going to leave that alone. When I see this sort of socialism, or at least a path, you know, starts leaning that way or going that way, I've just never seen it work out.
Socialism never works.
It's never worked. No, so here's kind of what I'm saying. If one thing is over here and you go, all right.
That's why Bernie always keeps correcting people. Democratic socialism, because that will work. Socialism doesn't work. Democratic socialism, that will work.
Right. So you go over here and you go, okay, I like cars. Okay. They tried to build some turbine-powered cars like Chrysler did. You know, it's the jet age, in the 60s and stuff like that.
I didn't even know that. That's
weird. Leno has one. They're sort of, you'll sort of see it, Chrysler's turbine car, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the deal with the turbine-powered car is it's just never worked. It doesn't seem to be a good power plant for propelling vehicles. Mm-hmm. It's great for an airplane. It doesn't work for cars. And that's why Chrysler tried it in, 1967. And Gary will figure it out. Maybe it was 65. I don't remember. They made a handful. They crushed them. Leno's got one. It's interesting when they fire it up because it's a turbine engine.
It sounds like a jet.
Yeah. But
62 to 64. 62
to 64. It's never worked. So if you say to me, hey, we're building a car, and somebody says, okay, now we can come out with a power plant. Hmm. And somebody over here goes, V6 turbocharged diesel. I think, well, that's rock solid. I mean, that diesel, man, this thing's been pushing and pulling everything around the world for 75 years. Okay, that's good. And then I guess, let's go turbine. And I go, I like the idea of the turbine, and I think it sounds cool, and I think it sounds progressive, and I wish we had a turbine that worked. But right now, I have never seen an example
but the problem is
of a turbine when powered a car and had it work. And I'm looking to roll some good units out and cover some miles here.
But
so
you know what people
why don't we go
say?
With good old diesel?
Yeah, but if we just haven't figured now that we figured it out. Now we know. Now we just didn't have the whatever before. Now we figured it out. And the risk of that is so fantastic.
I've never seen it work. So they have one technology that I know works. Mm. I'm not saying it's the best. I'm saying it's the best we know of. And the other technology, we've tried it a few times. It's not working. It never works. So then you're saying to me, well, look, over on the left, you got the V6 diesel with the turbo on it. And over on the right, you have a turbine. Okay. So you don't want to go full turbine. No. Well, where do you want to land in between the turbine and the diesel? And I'm like really close to the diesel. And they go, what if we just nudge over toward the turbine? Like, it's a little bit, it's just like free hospitals, free healthcare, take your 10-week vacation. And how about that? And I'm going, no, that's, we're getting closer to the turbine. Yeah, yeah. No, that doesn't, but that doesn't, once we're going a direction where when we get there, it doesn't work when we get there. Yeah, but we got to go that direction is what they're saying.
And I'm like, better diesel.
And I'm like, no, no, I don't want to go that direction at all. I'd rather go the other direction to where it works. Now, you're agreeing with this, but why? Is there any, and I don't even know anything about politics. I'm just, every example I see doesn't work.
That's sort of the issue, which is I'm a pragmatist at heart and a realist, and I hate ideologies. Ideologies always harm people, whether you look at the Cultural Revolution in China or the French. What ideology just harms people. Russia, all ideologically driven, horrible outcomes for people. And so you just stay in what works, stay in the pragmatic. And that's sort of what our founding fathers did. They go, let's look at what's worked in the past and let's build the best diesel. And, well, you know, and that's.
I want to know. I don't know what's going on in France, but it
well,
seems.
Well, they're pissed at the socialists. They're sick of it.
Well, look, once you get a few sort of no-fly zones, like here, these are neighborhoods that are very heavily populated with Muslim and the culture, and you can't really walk through there with a miniskirt. Once there's a few of those, look, everyone has their heart in the right place. Like, oh, yeah, we should take refugees. We should have that world-class health care. Nobody should be turned away. World-class schooling, all this kind of stuff. Once we start implementing that stuff and it doesn't really work, people double, but they turn around. And they put their needs first.
Right.
And I think it's why you saw Trump get elected here. It's probably why you saw Brexit. And it's probably why you're going to start seeing that start happening in Europe. The most progressive places in the world are going to be not so progressive.
Swinging back, yeah.
They're going to swing back.
Yeah, the problem is that they've fractured a little bit to a very left and a very right. So now let's just become communists and get it over with. Versus this way right nationalism.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I was saying that 60 Minutes did a piece on Marie Le Pen or something like that.
I was just trying to help.
Yeah, that's right. Gary's right.
I want to see a picture. Yeah, I want to see a picture of a turbine car. If you can throw that up there.
Yeah, sure. find the Chrysler turbine car. I'll tell you about Simply Safe. Protecting your home security. That's very important. Should be easy. In the past, it wasn't. Installation appointments, drilling holes, getting locked in contracts. You don't want that. Simply Safe, comprehensive, professional, monitored home security online. Super, super easy. Each system is a security arsenal. Entry and motion sensors, high-def security cameras, everything you need to keep your family safe. CNET called it comprehensive, easy-to-use protection and named it Editor's Choice for Home Security in 2014. So, what do you do? Well, order today. Get protected by the end of the week. Get 10% off right now when you go to Simply Safe. Two I's in there. SimplySafeAdam.com. That is Simply Safe Adam, SimpliSafeAdam. SafeAdam.com. And get your 10% off. Get up and running. Peel and stick. Super easy. No pulling wires. No crawling around. No making a mess. It's Simply Safe.
Was it a jet engine car, essentially? Or was it a turbine that operated something else?
The turbine was the power plant that turned the drive shaft.
I see.
They
okay.
couldn't. Right. The jet engine. That's
because it has a weird exhaust on it that makes it look like.
They're trying to make it look cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where we are. But yeah. it's a turbine.
Doesn't
engine.
Leno have a car with a jet engine though? That silver one.
Sorry, he has a turbine car from Chrysler,
right.
and he built himself.
Yeah, built it.
Like Eco Boost car or something, or Eco something, where he built a bespoke car and it has a turbine engine in it.
Oh, okay.
What does bespoke mean? Speaking of words,
made from scratch.
Got it.
Or one of.
Got it.
Not others.
Got it.
Of it. That's they kind of say it in it's bespoker. My grandmother.
It sounds
she kind of texted me from the grave
with an ER again. It sounds like something you learned at Pebble Beach. Just saying.
It's a car. There's a couple of weird car terms.
Yeah.
The definition is made to order.
Yeah.
That never. Yeah, it's made to order, but it suggests that not 1,000 units were made to order the same. It's kind of one off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other thing beside bespoke, which is the car thing, which is a great word, homologation.
What does that mean? Well, homologous means the same as, sort of.
Right.
So homologation is make the same as?
Yes, very good. Using the old Latin. The homologation is a term which means, Ferrari wants to go out and race their car. And they want to enter it as a sports car. And they don't want to race in the prototype division. They want to enter it as a sports car division. And so the FIA, the sanctioning body, says, well, right now that thing's just a bespoke one-off car. But if you homologate it and you produce 50 road-going units, then it will become a sports car that people can purchase.
Got it.
And then you can legally race it.
So it's a word generate. It came out of racing. So you'd sort of knock off the bespoken
car. So what Ferrari would do is you don't have a problem if it's a Mustang or a Corvette because they build millions of those cars and then they race them.
Yeah.
But for Ferrari, they wouldn't build millions of street-going cars. They build race cars.
Yeah.
So they'd have to build some street-going versions of it. Got and they it. Would always cheat. They'd tell them you got to build 50 versions. They build 21.
You wonder where you can really learn words like this. Go to audible.com.
Look up homologation, Gary.
The premier. Just go read about homologation. Or go listen to somebody reading you a book about homologation.
Look, if you go to Audible and you listen to A.J. Bame's Go Like Hell.
Oh.
They will. That is the 24-hour wars based on that. That's what they will tell you about homologation.
They are the premier provider of digital audiobooks, titles in every genre, even racing. You can play it on the iPhone, the Kindle, the Android, and more than 500 devices for listening anytime, anywhere. Check out the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast. For the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast listeners, we will give you a free audiobook download. I don't know how we do this, with a free 30-day trial that will give you the opportunity to check out how great Audible is. I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time. I listening to books and lectures has now become my meditation. Mm, it really, if I don't do it, I literally feel off. I do it when I work out. I do it when I run. And you can do it too. Just download your free audiobook today. Go to audibletrial.com/Corolla. audibletrial.com/Corolla. That is audibletrial.com/CAROLLA for your free audiobook.
All right.
Calls.
Yeah, classically, my grandmother, one last thing, God bless her soul, was trying to remember famously when she was correcting me on clitoris.
Yes. Do you want to share that with people? I shall never forget that. That and rim job, the two stories I shall never forget.
I've heard you say clitoris.
These both were at dinner, right?
No, this one was a Saturday afternoon. Maybe she heard on the radio show I said clitoris, and she said, it's pronounced clitoris.
I think it was on TV, if I remember right.
Probably. She didn't have cable, though.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, some people say clitoris and some people say clitoris. I don't, more people say clitoris, I feel like, or either way. But she's like, it's clitoris. And I said, I don't know. Dr. Drew says clitoris and she didn't, or clitoris or whatever it is. And then I'm starting to get confused. And then she doesn't miss a beat, but it's very grandma-esque. Or she goes, Emery Kenrick is a doctor and he pronounces it clitoris. And I'm like, Dr. Drew, didn't I just say Dr. Drew? It was like, you're my doctor, so you don't really count?
Right. Yeah.
You're like Dr. Pepper, and he's an actual physician. Yeah, so she didn't, of course, in a long, in a rich history of discounting everything that comes that your family could possibly bring in, which is you, by the way, I got to apologize for you and to Jimmy Kimmel and to Jon Stewart. Now, you guys have all been registered null and void because I have said I'm friends with or have a relationship with. Now there's you're not a real doctor. Jon Stewart's not funny anymore. Jimmy never hosted anything. Like that's
to be fair, it was carried through two generations. Your mom really took it all the way home. With did you see the Academy Awards? You like how my friend Jimmy did? Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah,
we were kind of in and out. Anyway, Trader Joe's has a sharp Havarti. It's a smoked Havarti. I don't know. John, is that a cheddar? It's a, I think they called it Havarti. Well, it doesn't, but it's smoked, so it's sharp. Is that called a sharp? No, you're thinking of the white cheddar. Oh, yeah, it's a, let me do another hour and a half on cheese. And before we seamlessly transition into hot muffin talk.
Find our way away from the Academy Awards, from Jimmy, from you, to be fair.
I guess that's the plan. So anyway, my grandmother said, In motorsports, homologation is the approval process through which a vehicle, a racetrack, or a standardized part is required to go for certification to race in a given league or series. The regulations and rules that must be met are generally set by the series sanctioning body. Okay. So, so my grandmother said clitoris, and I said clitoris. And then I said, I hear people pronounce it both ways. And she said, well, you're wrong. And then she told me you were wrong. And then she told me, you know, Emery Kenrick is a doctor. And then at some point, she marched me over to grandfather's oversized print dictionary. He had a dictionary with print that was like 2 inches each font because he couldn't see at the end. And he wanted to look up words. And so it was like a giant, like the phone for the old people, the yes. huge buttons. There's that dictionaries like oversized print, and he flipped the whole thing open and we looked up clitoris or clitoris together in the giant font. Grandpa had passed, and it said pronounce it either way. So there you go. Cambridge, Webster's, what you have the pronunciation, Gary?
The Web will pronounce it for you.
Clitoris.
Oh, so that's not clitoris. It's a little in between.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Clitoris.
No, that's clitoris. Grandma's right.
It's either way.
Okay, still either way?
Yeah.
All right.
So you got line 3 here. I don't understand that call at all. That's I'm curious.
Chris, 38, Alabama. Chrysoris?
Dr. Drew, it's Chrysoris.
Chrysoris.
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead, Chris.
I had a question. This came up, and I thought I'm going to try to make it succinct, but I wanted your opinion as an employer. I put in for a statewide award at work, and I just missed winning it. And I wondered, when you have something like that, put a lot of effort into it, what is the proper amount as an employer that you're looking for from your employee of disappointed versus not going to let it get you down? So, if that makes sense.
You're the person that must portray this person?
I am that person.
And you're the you're the boss. You're the employer.
No. I'm sorry. I put in for the award, but the people at work, I want them to know that it mattered to me, but not that it mattered to that I cared, but I didn't care so much that I was devastated by it.
What was the award?
It was a the Attorney General's School Safety Award for the state. We lost it by 1 point. So we put a lot of effort into it. It's disappointing, but moving on.
Well, you lost it by 1 point. Can you do the old next year? We're going to win it by 2 points or something?
That's my attitude. I never want to look like I don't care enough or care too much. And I don't know what an employer is looking balance. For.
I think the employer is looking for the effort you put out when you tried to win.
I think that's good, and they especially like that part where you go, next year,
it's
a lead pipe cinch.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
That's the
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the most important part is really, hey, next year for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make sure of it. Danny?
But you better do it.
Hey, Adam, Drew,
Toward
the end of Loveline, there was a caller wanting to commit suicide, and you had to leave the airwaves to deal with it.
Yeah.
What was it that you did?
I don't remember the call, but I tell you what I would do is, first of all, you know, sort of assess the level of threat. Do they have a plan? Do they have a firearm? You know, what else is going on that led to this? Have they had previous attempts? Then we hold them on the line, and we call local law enforcement and tell them what we got. And we send them in. And
they track them with the phone number?
We sort of try to get as much information we can about where the person is and what's going on. And they're sometimes circumspect. We just keep them on the phone. We try not to take those calls because we just don't have the capacity to handle it. But when they happen, I just got to make sure that person gets in, you know, safe hands. It's just the same thing as if somebody was saying they were holding a gun, you know, and thinking of pointing it at somebody else. You deal with it the same way. You get somebody in there to take care of them and put them in the hospital.
Danny, you good?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks.
All right. That's good then. Let's talk to Mark, 40, Oregon. Mark.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Going on, man.
So I'm going to be a father here in a few days. First time, it's going to be a boy, and among a lot of big decisions here, one of which is going to be to circumcise or not. In the old days, it just seemed like everybody gets circumcised. Wasn't a lot of question about it, but more and more, I think people are questioning kind of the pros and cons. So I just want to get your take on that kind of from, you know, a medical standpoint, but also an aesthetic standpoint, social standpoint, and yeah, just hear your thoughts on the matter.
Well, it's, I always just go yes, because it's just easier all the way around, and I never bought into any of the, you know, restore this foreskin crew. That remember the original snowflakes?
Oh.
The we've been maimed,
yeah,
by a surgeon.
Yeah,
our body's been attacked and altered.
They started this thing.
The very first tip, yeah, of the spear for the snowflakes that were ushered in was about 2000-2001. There's a bunch of guys wanted to restore their foreskins because they looked like they basically looked at it as, without their consent,
yeah,
they were attacked by a surgeon.
Yeah,
and maimed. So go ahead and do it for that reason. But then if you get into an argument with your neighbor over there in super crunchy Oregon or Seattle, or wait, we in Seattle?
Oregon. It used to be in Seattle. I'm in Oregon now.
Oh, okay. So, I screwed that one up. Anyway, the point is there's a crunch factor. And you can simply go, look, I love sucking an uncut chode as much as the next bicurious guy, but Dr. Drew says there's a higher chance that they could transmit the virus, right?
Right. In fact, Anthony Fauci, from the head of the CDC, is on an international campaign to increase circumcision, both to reduce the risk of cervical cancer through transmission of HPV, but you should be getting the vaccine for that anyway, so that should be a non-issue. And a reducing transmission of HIV, which actually can be reduced by getting a circumcision.
So
I don't know if any reason.
There's your trump card.
I don't know any reason not to get the circumcision other than I just don't like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go, Mark.
Gotcha. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Yeah, thank you. But now you have science on your side.
Well, they'll go, there have been horrible complications. Yes, one in 30 million or something. Things can't go wrong.
Well, Dennis Prager has this very interesting sort of adage, and I'll probably screw it up a little bit, but it basically goes...
Is it in Yiddish?
He probably knows it in Yiddish. Probably knows it in Russian, too. Huh. I think he speaks like five languages, but it is the deal. If there's a piece of data and a sample size or a test or, you know, hey, this study came in, and the study is sort of counter to what is logical or what you know, then it's wrong.
Yes.
Like when you go, hey, what about all the complications? You look around and you go, I've never met anyone in my life that has ever said they had a complication or their son had a complication or somebody's famous, George Clooney's son is in the hospital after a complication. And it's like, and you look around and you go, never heard of it. I've just never seen it. Then it's a non... Now, that's not them lying about numbers. That's them taking something you have no percentage chance of actually acquiring and trotting it out as if it's a real thing. You know what I mean? So that's that. There's that. There's the thing where you have way less than a tenth of 1% of this happening, and you treating it like it's a coin toss, and you want to put your child.
But that's, you got to remember, the human brain does not make a really good assessment.
Mine does.
No. Listen, between a 30% risk and a 1 in 30 million risk, it's all a risk. It's all going to – no, 1 in 30 million is zero. That's
right.
Zero.
Well, but as long as you can put a name and a face to it, then you go, well, look what happened to little Johnny.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's that, and then they do this one. You know, their parents didn't expect anything to go wrong either. You know,
they personalize it.
Just like you. You know, I love that.
But that's how our brains work. Our brains go into the story and into the particular
– But go ahead.
I mean, that's how
a human brain. Not human.
I know. Yeah. You're not human. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people will go, it's a 1 in 30 million chance, and they figure it's going to happen to them.
There's that. That's called narcissism, by the way.
Yeah.
Even though it's something negative. And then the other one is when they start, people have been tweeting me more articles about third-hand smoke, and it's like, I've never... If there's something you've never heard of and you've never heard anybody have a problem with a third-hand smoke or second-hand, if there's just – you'll know the answer. That's That's the answer.
Here's the answer. True Car.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Once you register True Car, you will see pricing on actual inventory on the dealer's lot. So you can feel confident when you show up. You'll also know, of course, you're getting a fair price. You need that context. With True Car, you will see what other people in your market paid for the car you want. You'll show up, and that price is on actual inventory in one of the True Car certified dealer's lots. True Car users save an average of $3,000 off MSRP. And, of course, there have been over 3 million cars sold by the 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. New cars, used cars, it's all available at True Cars. Ooh, that's a nice, I like Ooh, that one. Yeah.
I like that.
That's right. So see that prices, get real inventory, lock it in, show up, easy. It's a really smooth, easier buying experience. You'll have confidence when you show up. The car you want is there. The price you locked in is what you'll get. And that's why over 3 million cars have been sold. So when you're ready to buy, visit True Car, and you will enjoy a much more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
All right. If you'd like to hear me and the aforementioned Dennis Prager, no safe spaces, me and him, University of Northridge, Cal State Northridge. Currently number 3 on Billboard's comedy charts, number 1 on iTunes. So check that out, AdamCarolla.com, iTunes, Amazon. The 24-Hour War, free on Amazon Prime. If you'd like to go check that out. You can say hi to Lynette. She's doing all the Lord's work over there, Corolla Drinks. And they got a code, Hooters. Save a bunch of money after you buy one bottle. Just go check it out. Go contact her over there. And click through Amazon, bookmark, AdamDrDrewShow.com. Drew?
Go to DrDrew.com. Check out me and Spaz. You know, Bruce and I are getting in some really interesting, we're having great guests and really interesting conversations. There's a newsletter that goes out with the weekly infusion as well.
Stoller's on today.
Fred, no, that's on the Dr. Drew podcast. Fred Stoller and his new series about his mom and stuff. What did I said weekly infusion with me and Spaz. That was the thing I was talking about, the crazy guests. But Stoller is on today, and we got good guests coming up on the Dr. Drew podcast as well. Next week I got an interesting guy. I'll tell you about that next week. But me and Bob Forrest on This Life, and do check out check out the website. You guys never go. I need the Corolla. What would he call them? The Corolla
hors d'oeuvres.
Yes.
No. The army.
The army. The Corolla army to show up. I forget the word I'm looking for. Anyway, the army to show up and to help us at DrDrew.com. We appreciate it.
So until next time, Adam Corolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.